Welcome to Talking With Yourself, a podcast designed as a place to learn new things, talk about navigating the world, dealing with mental health, and just life in general. I'm your host, Sam Preston, and thank you so much for being here. Now, let's get into it. Welcome back to another week. First, I do want to say, just before we get started, that I really appreciate everybody who comes and listens, whether you've been here since the first episode, or, you know, maybe this is your first episode you're tuning into, you tuned in like an episode or two ago. I like to get a little sappy for a second, just really appreciate it. I do this thing for fun. I don't care how many people tune in, but I love seeing when people do and, you know, how many people are tuning in consistently, just to say I really appreciate it. But with all of that out of the way, I would love for my newest guest to introduce herself today.
Yeah, so I'm Lara. I'm 20. I'm from the UK. I'm a nursing student. And I have had an online presence since I was about 15. And yeah, I'm in recovery from an eating disorder, and that's something me and Sam have in common. So yeah.
Yeah, definitely. That's pretty much how I found you, actually, was through your Instagram account.
I'm curious when.
Oh gosh, I don't know. It had to have been at least like before you were in nursing school. I know that for sure.
Really?
Yeah, so I want to say, I don't know, a couple years. I couldn't even tell you, in all honesty.
Yeah.
What made you want to start the Instagram account?
I think, well, first of all, I had Lara Loves Toast, which was like, I don't know if you found me on there, but that was like my main one. And I think I started that when I was 15. Because I just felt like I was a bit crazy. And, you know, like, I'd been presented with this diagnosis and, like, all the stats on recovery, which aren't that encouraging, you know, to hear. Yeah. And it was lockdown and I was by myself trying to get better, and I feel like I just felt very alone in it. So I started Instagram, and it was, like, for that purpose, like, the best thing I could have done, I think.
Yeah, I feel like definitely if you're on the right side of things, Instagram is so helpful in the recovery aspect.
Yeah, I think. And then like when I was like 17, I think I started Toastiarchy, which is just like my silly little one I have now, because I felt like a bit too much pressure.
That's fair. I think I followed you back when you were still Lara Loves Toast.
Really? Yeah.
I think I've been there since then. So definitely quite
a few. I really appreciate it.
How have you kind of like, you've kind of evolved your account over the years, and I feel like you've gotten a little away from the eating disorder stuff in a good way, but like when did that switch kind of happen?
I think there was so many things going on, but I think like when I was 17, I was not doing very well, and I had to like really evaluate what was helping me and what wasn't, and like what I was gonna do to like support a change in my life. And I think like I recognized that while like being part of Lara Loves Toast at the start had been really helpful, it had been 2 years and I was still going backwards, and I felt like it wasn't worth the risk to me anymore. So that's when I kind of left that account. And I think for me, my other account has just been like a bit more unfiltered. I feel like I've felt less pressure, and it's private, so I felt less pressure to be like polished and like everyone's gonna see it, you know. And then I think as my life changed, my content changed, you know, and like I wanted to respect myself, who was really unwell and who really needed to see someone out there saying, hey, you know, like this doesn't have to be your forever. And I also like wanted to just post silly things sometimes.
I feel like I've known or at least followed a good amount of people who have kind of like said similar things, where like you get to a point of doing that recovery content where it's like become your whole life in a sense, and part of you can't even just get past that because you're constantly posting about it, you're constantly being like, this is what helped me, and like, I know I'm recovered, but this and this, and it becomes like your identity to a lot of people.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know your experience, but like for me, definitely the eating disorder was my life, and then recovering was my life. And I feel like it was kind of two sides of the same coin. You know, it was still like me obsessed with the illness, just in a different way, obviously a better way, but still not the healthiest way.
Yeah.
I think like I had to be able to like move on from even identifying with recovery as like a big part of what I was putting out there in order to like meaningfully come away from it in my own personal life.
Kind of felt the same way, where like when I was in my eating disorder, like that part took over my life. And then as I got into recovery, I was like, oh, I'm good, I'm better. But it was still, because now instead of talking about going through the eating disorder, I was talking about my recovery and everything. And it just kind of like, you like have to almost learn after the fact to like find different parts of yourself again, if that makes sense.
For sure. Yeah.
I found hobbies were the hardest thing to come back to, because for so long, a lot of my hobbies had this secret second goal driven by my eating disorder. And it was so hard to figure out something that I actually enjoyed and was actually for me.
Yeah. And I think you can get so obsessive about it that even things like playing an instrument, the eating disorder knows. Do you know what I mean? And I think for me, like, I literally had to stop everything I was doing and like start a whole bunch of new things. But I think it can be quite overwhelming, can't it? To feel like to start so many new things, or to feel like you've lost your eating disorder and now you've lost everything that you like doing in your spare time. And like, so I think it's being like patient with yourself, isn't it?
Yeah. I remember one of the tough things was when I was recovering, I was still in my undergrad. And one of the things I'd used as like one of my big distractions from everything was doing schoolwork. So I became a very big perfectionist at schoolwork. Yeah. And then trying to recover while also still in school, it was so difficult to find that balance of like, I still have to sit down and I have to focus on my education. But at what point does it become like it was before, you know?
Yeah, I think it is really difficult. Like for me, I like left school when I was like 16. But like when I came back, when recovery was really working for me, like when I was like 18, I came back to the job I'd been doing. And I think it took a long time and a lot of like slightly awkward conversations with my boss to like fully get back into, okay, I'm doing this for me. And I think some things, like I've been climbing since I was about 6.
Wow.
And I think like something I've always loved, and then something I did throughout my eating disorder, and then you feel like you don't want to give up a part of yourself just because it's been tainted. So it's trying to figure out like how you can do it healthily and like not let it be that, you know. I think it's really hard, isn't it? I think to honour like your inner child and to make sure that you're not slipping at all.
Yeah, I was kind of the same with you with climbing. I was with hockey. And I remember going through it was like middle of hockey season as well for me. And so getting back into things, it was like, how do I honor, because I know I love this sport and I know outside of everything, this is like my favorite thing to do. But then it's like, how do I honor that while still making sure I'm okay and taking care of myself? And I found a lot of the time it was like, even like low-key just using the people around me as my checkpoints, where like if I was at a practice and it was like, okay, like everybody's taking a break now and they all want to get water, and like my brain wants to push more, but I'm just gonna like almost autopilot of just following everyone around you.
Yeah, and I think like it requires a level of like rigorous honesty that is not easy to maintain. You know, I think sometimes I had to be like, I'm actually not going to go, even though I think I'm fine, because I'm not 100% sure. And I don't feel like fighting this all night, you know, so I'm just going to step back.
Yeah, which is sometimes so hard to do, especially at the start. I know for myself, I'm a big people pleaser. I hate saying no to people. Even now, like I'm terrible at saying no sometimes. So it's like to sit yourself down and be like, no, we're gonna step back. We're gonna do something for you is like so, it's so hard.
And I think, ironically, like that was one of the main drivers of me like leaving my bigger Instagram account, was because I was like such a people pleaser to the point where like, was I actually taking care of myself? Do you know what I mean? And I think you can get to a place where like you're just like you're saying what you want, you like what you want, what you know other people want to hear, but like actually, are you being honest and are you taking your own advice? You know, I think sometimes to put yourself first, if you're a people pleaser, it's really hard.
Yeah, it like you almost immediately feel selfish for doing it, and it's the complete opposite of what's being selfish actually is.
I know. Yeah.
So you said you were in nursing school, right?
Yeah.
Like, how has that been going, just in general?
Nursing school is like just so hard. Like, I absolutely love it. Every time I go onto a clinical, I'm like, this is what I'm meant to be doing, you know? And at the same time, like, I'm so tired all the time.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's like, it's been like really, I feel like the people pleaser in me, it's been really good. I've been able to channel like my desire to help people at all costs into something productive and know that I'm doing it the right way. Because when you're 15 online, you don't actually know what you're doing.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. But it's definitely been really challenging as well, like to make sure you're not pushing yourself too hard. Because I think you can be like, well, like they need me to come in, so I'm just going to go in. But actually, you know.
Yeah, still that taking a step back and being like, today's my day off.
Yeah. Today's my day off, actually. And
Yeah.
should I be writing an assignment? No. Today I have to do nothing. Like I've had to start scheduling in days where I do nothing.
Because sometimes nothing is so productive, though.
Yeah.
Like, I
But
swear the days where I like lay on the couch and I just watch TV and I rot sometimes are so much more productive than if I'm up and like doing all my assignments and answering all my emails and all of this.
and like the next day I find I'll do way better than if I'd had two like busy, miserable days.
Yeah. Was your eating disorder something that played a part in you wanting to be a nurse, or was this just something you always knew you wanted to do?
No, it wasn't. I think the eating disorder, like, I think it's really hard for me because nursing is something that I'm really passionate about and I really love. And I really don't want to be tainted, I guess, or like I want it to be my thing, you
Yeah.
know. But I think like my eating disorder essentially exposed me to nursing in a way that I never had been before. So I think it made me realize I want to be a nurse, but not because I want to nurse people with eating disorders, you know?
I know what you mean. Yeah. It like it fueled that
Yeah.
want
Like
to
it
be a
showed
nurse.
me a career option that I'd never thought about. But I think it has equally made nursing that much harder, you know, because I think I can maybe identify with the patients a bit more, or like I'll be learning certain skills or things that I've got, you know, some history with. So I think like it's a double-edged sword. Like I think I'm gonna be a better nurse because of it, and it makes being a nurse that much harder.
Yeah, especially if you ever come across like an eating disorder patient, it's like I know I've done it a couple times with like I've just seen other people who are where I was a couple years ago, and it's like you see yourself in them even if you're two completely different people.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, I think nursing's been really good for me in terms of like, I think it's really healed something in me in terms of like the medical stuff that I went through with my eating disorder, to see like hospitals being a place of like health and like people going in and getting better, and it's like actually a lifeline for everyone involved, I think has been really nice to see. But I think sometimes it's hard not to get frustrated with yourself. Like, I feel like if I hadn't had an eating disorder, it would be so much easier for me to be a nurse. But
if I hadn't had
an eating disorder, I wouldn't be a nurse. So
well, it's kind of like you get both sides of it too, of having been a patient and now having to be the caretaker.
Yeah.
So it almost gives you like a little bit of an edge, if anything, where you kind of know what it's like for that person that you're now taking care of.
Yeah. I'm curious, what was your undergrad in?
English and psychology.
Are you doing psychology now?
I like just graduated, so I'm really? Done with it. But honestly, I think part of psychology might have been all like, you know, determined by all the mental health stuff I've dealt with in the past. I was like taking one psychology course and just loved it. But
do you think, like, have you encountered it in psychology a bit like, oh, I recognize that personally and don't really want to look at it?
I took an entire course once that was based off of just like mental health illnesses and mental health disorders.
Gosh.
And we covered all of the like basics, of course, like the depression, anxiety, and then we kind of covered like schizophrenia, BPD, and we had a whole unit on eating disorders. And that one was like, it was like a case study. So we were given like somebody who had gone through it, and we had to like read about it and diagnose it. And I remember emailing my prof being like, can I just like do a shortened version of this? I was like maybe a year into my recovery, and I was like, this isn't going well.
Oh gosh. My last placement, like I was meant to be placed on a ward that takes like all the local eating disorder patients, and I just emailed my tutor and just said, could I go somewhere else?
Yeah.
You know, like I'm absolutely fine now, but I don't need to do that to myself.
No, it's like, it's, you know, you're okay and you're like recovered or you're in recovery. But at the same time, if one little thing sets you off, it's just.
Yeah, just not worth it.
Yeah. Which I feel like comes from denying that people pleaser in you.
Ah!
It's like you have this thing in front of you and it's like, I could do it, but it's not the best option for me. So, hey, can I not?
Yeah. And it can be hard if you think, like, I could actually be quite good at that, but I don't think I can stomach it.
Yeah, not for me at this time. Maybe come back in a couple years. We'll see then.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm going to go, like, a tad off topic back to your Instagram account.
Go for it.
You've been doing lately, which is honestly part of the reason I even reached out to do this podcast, you've been doing your Life After an Eating Disorder series, which I've been like loving every time I come up. Do you want to just explain to people what it's about and why you started doing that?
Yeah, it's basically, I feel like, I don't know, it's quite sporadic. Whenever I kind of remember it exists, I'll make a post about just things I've been getting up to, whether it would be like my degree or like hobbies or seeing my friends, because like we were saying earlier, I think it's really easy to identify with recovery. And I don't think there's actually that much out there about, hey, like, there's a life after this, you know? There's a life before this and there's a life during this. And then afterwards, like, life's going to go on, you know? And you're going to find, like, potatoes that you left in the cupboard for 3 months, you know? Like, and, like, really normal, boring things are going to happen. And it's, like, you know, I feel like when you're unwell or when you're recovering, like, you are in this really heavy situation, you know, when you're dealing with something that's really important. And like, I think it's nice to know that life can be really normal and boring afterwards if you want it to be.
Oh yeah. I remember like one of the big things was you're like in recovery and you're looking at all these accounts and you're like so focused on your own recovery that it's like, this is never ending. Like you look at some accounts who have, and there's like obviously nothing wrong with it, but some accounts who have been posting about recovery for like years and years and years and years, and you just kind of think, I'm always going to be in this mindset of fighting against my eating disorder or whatever I'm dealing with. And it's so hard to see past that into like, yeah, the mundane things of finding potatoes in your cupboard that you've left there for 4 months, and it's like, oops, my bad.
I think it was just really important to me, like, that other people could see that it moves on. And I think it's quite special on that account because I started that account when I was so unwell, you know, and I feel like sometimes if I'm feeling a bit nostalgic, like I can go back and see like all the things. I had a post about like coming off my meal plan and I was so scared and it seemed so impossible. And now like the thought of having a meal plan is like, you can't even believe you ever needed a meal plan. Do you know what I mean? And I think it's quite nice now to be able to see like, this is everything that comes after it. Like it's a little documentation.
Yeah, I remember I posted a video probably like a year or two ago now of like just talking about how I used to freak out about the littlest things. And before I knew it, I was like dancing around my kitchen with like swinging cats in the air, making like pizza bagels. And if I had shown it to myself 4 years ago or something, she would have never believed it. She would have been so distraught that I was making pizza bagels. And it's like, it just, I feel like it almost comes up, like the normality of it almost hits you out of nowhere. Yeah. And I like that you mentioned like with the series, you were just doing it sporadically. Because then it just comes so much more naturally. If you're saying like every Thursday I'm going to post it, and it's like at some point you're trying to make that normality and it's abnormal. I don't know if that makes sense, you know?
No, I know what you mean. And I think I remember being like 15 and like staring down my toast and being like, I actually genuinely believe that I would rather live like this than ever live without this illness. You know, I think you can find such a sense of security. And I think it's obviously fake, but it's really hard to see beyond it. So I think now, like, it's really nice to be like, hey, you can have a life after this. And actually, it's way better.
Yeah. And so it's kind of boring. Yeah. It's kind of boring in, like, the best sense.
In the best way. And, like, I'm doing new things and I'm really, really bad at them. And that's fine, you know?
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize, like, you can do stuff and be bad at it and still have fun.
And, like, me included, I didn't realise. Like, yeah, I feel like until I came to uni, like, I was never really, you know, everything I'd done, I've been doing since I was, like, 5 years old.
Yep.
So then anytime I started something new and I wasn't good at it, I was like, oh, what's the point? Actually, there can be
I was, like, a very big person on, like, if I try it once and I'm bad at it, I don't ever want to do it again. And so, like, but now I'm like, okay, but it's like painting. Can I paint good? No. Oh God, I suck at it. But like, but it's something I like to sit down and I like to do to relax and just have fun. And I'm okay with that. I'm not like painting to end up in some big art gallery and make millions. Like my paintings end up hanging around my parents' house and I'm like, perfect. Okay. Somebody likes them.
Exactly. I think it's moving that like the value away, isn't it? Of like putting value on something being good, or actually how does it make me feel? Does it make me feel good? Then maybe it's still worth something.
Especially when you're just doing it for yourself and not for someone else. I feel like if you can sit there and just say, I'm okay if this thing doesn't turn out good because I'm having fun, then it shouldn't matter what anybody else thinks.
I remember I had like core memory when I was like, I was about 16 and I was in like an A-level art class, which is just, the year that you're in. And I was like, art was like my obsession. All my perfectionist tendencies went into it. You know, I did really badly in most of my exams, but art was like flawless. And I remember sitting there and going, I actually hate this. I've never been more bored. I've never been meaner to myself. Like, I actually, this skill that I've spent years perfecting, I don't like it at all. Why am I doing it? Yeah. And I feel like, and I like left school and I got a job that I loved and actually it was okay. You know, like, I think I can get obsessive about things, but actually being good at something doesn't necessarily mean it's a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I guess almost even the complete opposite of what we were just talking about like, you can be really good at something and you can hate it.
Yeah.
And you don't have to do it.
You don't have to do it.
No. And I feel like, again, it all wraps around to the people pleasing. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
No, yeah. I totally get it. It's like, you really want to be... Even sometimes I've found like stuff that I'm good at and stuff that I enjoy, I don't enjoy it enough. I don't even know if that makes sense. Like, I used to play field hockey and I used to love field hockey. And it was like my favorite thing and I was really good at it. Not to sound cocky, but I feel like I was really good at it.
Yeah.
And then I went off to university and I started playing there. And I was still enjoying it and I was still pretty good at it, but it was such a higher level of competition that I wasn't getting the amount of playtime that I wanted. And so even though I loved the sport and I was good at it, it was like just the not being able to play made it a little less fun. And to me was just like, I had to step back. It just wasn't worth it in a sense, you know?
I think ironically, that was kind of me with Lara Loves Toast.
Yeah.
I really loved the community and I loved like feeling like I was doing something good and I was helping people, but actually, was it enough, you know? Like, is that, oh, this like feels good, does it feel good enough, you know? I think like, yeah. Is it me prioritizing myself?
Oh yeah, for sure. Because you have to put yourself first. And like, if half of your identity is tied into this account, even if it's something that you enjoy, it's almost, yeah, like it's almost not enough to keep you wanting to go.
Yeah, I think like, even if it's something you really enjoy, like, at the time, it was still a risk to my recovery, you know, and I think that was a horrible thing to realize.
Yeah.
I'm glad that I did.
Yeah, it's kind of a step for the better, even if it hurts a little at the time. Like, looking back on it, you're like, that was a good call.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people who go through things like have that real like drive to help other people. And I think I'm so glad that for some people their Instagram is that fulfills them. But like, I'm so glad that I've been able to channel that into other places that aren't necessarily all to do with mental health, because I think for me personally, I would never be able to move on if that was all I did.
Yeah, I get what you mean. Because, like, I know some people in the recovery community who are going on to be dietitians and, like, social workers. And I'm like, good for you. Like, you can sit there and you can help somebody go through exactly what you went through. But, like, at one point, I considered becoming a nutritionist or a dietitian. And I was like, I think if I'm basing my whole career around food and around eating disorders, I'm just forever going to be stuck in that headspace.
Yeah, and I think some people can definitely do it. Like, for me, what's been really helpful is like recovery coaching. And my coach had an eating disorder and got better, you know, and like she's been like the most valuable thing to me in getting better. So I think like I've got massive respect for people who can do it.
Yeah.
But I'm just not one of them. And I think I had to recognize that.
Yeah, I get what you mean. Because I really debated that dietitian, because there was that part of me that wanted to help people, because I knew what they went through or knew what they were going through. And then just kind of sitting there and like looking at what I would have to go through and like what would get thrown at me, I was like, even if I am in a good headspace, like then my whole life somehow still becomes an eating disorder, even if it's not mine. It's like, some people can handle that and like, I love them for it, like good for you, but it's just, yeah, not for me.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's looking at, like, why do you want to do it? Do you want to do it because you want to do it, or do you want to do it because you feel like you should, because you know you'd be able to help?
Yeah, the other thing is, like, do I want to do it, or do I feel this need? Do I feel obligated to help somebody else?
Yeah.
Which, like, you aren't. Like, you are obligated to help only yourself, really.
Real.
Yeah. I'm curious. Okay, I wanted to ask this question earlier and totally forgot, but why toast? Of all things, why toast?
Why toast?
Why?
Honestly, I don't know. It just does it for me. It's just something that I love. Lara loves toast.
Yeah.
And I think when I started the account, I went like, I had about a bazillion different names. You know, I think I had all this, I had like, Lara Learns to Live, or like Lara's Recovery I had at some point, you know, like Lara Gets Better, whatever. And then at some point I was like, do you know what the truth is of the matter, that I love toast? And I feel like other people must too, you know. And I think it was just like, it was just a bit more fun for me than like Lara's Recovery. Actually, guys, this is all about toast. This is about me eating the quantities of toast that I want to eat, which is a lot.
Honestly, you go, girl. I respect that.
Yeah, and then Toastiaki was literally just, I came up with my friend on the floor, you know. What if the patriarchy was for toast?
Was for toast.
Was
I
for
could get
toast.
behind that.
I know. And I've never been able to change it since. And sometimes I think maybe, Lara, you should have a bit, you know, more of like a, you know, if this is your only account now, like maybe it should be a bit more. No.
No.
It's never going to change.
You're doing this for yourself. Name it whatever you want. If I could change my account name to Pickles, I would have done it forever ago, let me tell you.
Yeah, it's quite freeing. And I do love toast.
Yeah, and it like it doesn't have to be serious. Like, why do names have to be serious?
Yeah.
You love toast.
I do. Deep down. There was a while on Instagram where I was like getting only personalized ads for like toast themed things.
Really?
Yeah, like toast bedside lights, and then I got like toast rugs, toast blankets. And
oh
I was like,
God.
I think Instagram's like taking the personalized ads too far, because I hope they know there is more to my life.
Yeah. Surprise, you have life beyond loving toast. Who would have thought?
Honestly.
I like the older I get, the more I realize that like life isn't that serious.
Yeah.
The amount of times I've been grocery shopping for like my week's worth of groceries, and I'm like, okay, like I'm gonna buy this and this so I can make these meals, and then all of a sudden I see like cake for 50% off, and I'm like, I'm an adult. I can just buy cake.
It's like I'm an adult. Like, I can buy dinosaur shaped nuggets.
Yeah.
Who's gonna stop me?
Exactly. I'm the one paying for them. It's not like there's anyone to say no.
Yeah. I went through like a real, when I came to university, I went through a real like potato waffle phase.
Oh.
You know? Mm-hmm. Because like I'd never had them before, and they were so good and they were so easy. And why not?
Yeah, why not? Like, you're an adult.
Yeah.
I think that's one of probably my favorite little things that came out of my recovery of like when I go grocery shopping and I'm not panicking over things. It's like I'm looking at this like cake or these muffins and I'm like, I just kind of want them. Like, I'm going to get them.
Yeah. Who's going to stop me?
Who's going to stop me?
I think there's definitely something quite like freeing and like empowering about going into a grocery store and being like, fuck you, I'm going to do whatever I want.
Yeah.
And like, I don't care what you have to say about it, you know.
The amount of times I go grocery shopping on a whim now with no plan of what to get, and I'm like just walking like measly up and down the aisles of going like, you know what, those crackers look good. Yep, screw it, I'm going to get the crackers.
I think I haven't had chickpeas in years. I'm going to buy 10 cans of chickpeas.
Right? Like, why not?
Who knows what I'm going to do with them? Not me, but...
No. Maybe I'll eat them. Maybe I'll forget about them in the cupboard and find them, like, a year later.
Yeah.
I'm bad for that. If things get, like, shoved to the back of my fridge, because I share the fridge with someone else, and I have the bottom shelf.
Yeah.
So if things get stuck at the back of the fridge and I don't see them, I instantly forget about them.
Yeah.
It's and then I'm like...
Like, avocados is my biggest, because, like, the shop near me only sells them in packs of two.
Oh...
Do I have one and then I think I'm going to have the next one tomorrow? Never have it.
I know what you mean.
I don't think I've ever successfully like had both avocados because I just forget. Yeah.
But I will literally just do it with one avocado. I'll have half of it and say like, oh, I'll eat the other half tomorrow. And I stick it in the fridge thinking it'll be fine. And then like 3 days later, it's like bruised and brown. And I'm like, oh no,
yeah,
I forgot.
I know. I think there's like... It's like there's so much ease in food just being food.
Yeah.
I used to be really obsessed with grocery stores, and now I'm not gonna lie, I don't think I share the same love that you do for grocery shopping.
Honestly, fair. I just really like going and knowing that I can bring home a cake if I want to.
Yeah.
That's my big thing.
But it is just like, I think it's so satisfying, but I actually don't know what I have in my fridge.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm gonna have for dinner, and it's not the end of the world.
No, I'll figure it out when like 5 o'clock hits and I realize I'm hungry, and I'll go, what do I got?
Yeah. And I think that was like another reason I did, you know, my life after an eating disorder series, because I think it can be hard to imagine what it's actually going to look like. You know, I think it's so encompassing. You think that there's no way I can't picture how I'm ever going to have a normal life after this, when actually like, it's right there.
Yeah, it's right there, and it's so... I just remember thinking that I was always going to be in this recovery mindset and I was always going to be fighting against my eating disorder until I was like 50, you know? And then like hitting almost that point where it's like, well, I'm not really fighting it anymore. It's just kind of my normal life now. And I feel like not a lot of people show that after, like that after point where you're just kind of living your life and it's like, oh yeah, like I used to struggle, but that's in the past. It's just me now.
Yeah, and I think there's like when I was first getting better, I was like said to everyone in my house, like, or like, and all my friends, like, you're not allowed to mention from like 2018 to 2022, like, you're not allowed to mention it. I don't want to know. And then I think over time, it's like, it's just something that happened. You know, and I think there's something to be said for like holding a bit of space for yourself, like honoring it. You'll see something and I'll be like, oh, I remember that makes me remember this. And I'll go, okay, you know, and like being able to move on. I think like it's always going to be something that happened, but it doesn't have to be this like great weight on you forever.
It doesn't have to be your whole personality. It's like I remember I used to be that way when like with ex when people would talk about exercising or like buying new clothes. And they would be like, oh, like I grew out of this piece of clothing. And like past me was like, I don't want to hear it. Like, I don't want to know. And now it's my friend will be like, oh, I grew out of these jeans. And I'm like, cool. Can I come with you to get new ones? Like, and it's just like, yeah, like it's always this part of you. And it is a part of you because it's your past and it's something that you went through, but it's not you. It's not like fully you and your personality.
And it doesn't have to be like the biggest thing. I think it's been so good for me. My favorite thing is that I've come to uni. I've come like 6 hours away, which is basically as far as you can go in England. And like nobody knows, and I just get to live my life, you know? And it can really be like something that happened, but it's not like doesn't influence my friends and people. I don't feel, I think you can feel a pressure of like if people know, like, oh, are they looking at me a certain way? But like no one has any reason to look at me a certain way, you know? And I think for me it's just been like the most freeing thing to be away from it and to have my account be private, you know? And
Yeah,
like,
there's like nobody you're obligated to on it. It's just for you for fun.
exactly. I think it's a big difference. I can see a big difference from like when I was like 15 and I was really trying, you know, and I was really well intentioned. But I think now I look back and I see, gosh, like I had a long way to go. I thought I was fine and like that was going to be my forever, and I'm so glad it wasn't.
I know what you mean. It's like I get those Snapchat memories every once in a while. Of like looking back on me and I'm like, I was not okay and I thought it was the end of the world and like I'm
And
like
it
looking
wasn't
back
the end
on it
of the
now like
world.
no it wasn't. I'm like I'm here now and I'm looking back on my past self like oh honey just keep going for a little longer and like you won't even notice it until like one day you're in your kitchen you're doing the most mundane thing and it's like oh like
I know, I feel like for a long time I took lots of little steps and I felt like I was getting absolutely nowhere. And then I turned around and I was so much further than I thought I was. And I think, I feel like for a long time I had to focus on the wound, you know, and like I had to like work from it, and like that all that pain was my focus because I had to like heal it. And I think now it's so nice that like even with nursing, which I was so worried would be I'd never be able to see in a different way so often, now I don't think about that when I'm doing it. You know, I'm in a lecture and it's like the last thing on my mind. And I think you never know, like you never think that something so life consuming can become just something that happened.
Yeah, I like thinking that like if you wrote a word a day, you would eventually come up with a paragraph. And like it might take a long time and it might take you like weeks or months or years to finally come up with a paragraph, but a word a day eventually gets you there. And it's like that, like a tiny step a day, a tiny step a week or whatever, like it eventually gets you there. And then yeah, you're sitting in a lecture and you're like not it just doesn't even cross your mind. I find there's days where like it almost, this is gonna sound like so weird. It doesn't even cross my mind that it hasn't crossed my mind.
For
You know
sure.
what I mean? Like there's days I'm not even thinking about it. And I don't realize till like a couple days later when like, I don't know, for some odd reason, something crosses my mind and I'm like, oh yeah, like haven't thought about food or this memory or whatever in like a really long time.
Yeah. It's like the biggest shock in the world, I think, for me. And I remember at the start, it was like, oh, you know, you don't want to let it go. But then actually, there's so much peace in letting go. And I think I became a bit obsessed with like recovered, you know, and like I realized I was just using it as a placeholder for perfect, you know. And I think like I found so much freedom in when I stopped analyzing all the time where I was and what I needed to do. I got to a point where like I didn't need to always be planning like what food I was going to challenge or whatever, you know. I think like, and it's just, you can just be living your life.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people deal with that like perfectionist tendency when they're like in their eating disorder or they're going through recovery, and it's the need to be doing it perfectly when there's no perfect way to do it. Like,
yeah, and I think it's such a process that there's nothing you can do, like no one event is gonna make or break it.
No,
you know. And I think like taking that pressure off really helped.
Yeah, for sure. Do you have, with your like eating disorder or life after an eating disorder series, do you have a favorite one you've done so far?
I think one of my favorite ones, it wasn't like fully part of the series, but it was like at the beginning before I had something that I always, you know, like a name for it. It was in 2022 and I wrote something about November and how like it came and went and I didn't notice. And it wasn't like some massive fight to get through November. It was just November.
Yeah, it was just a time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think realizing, oh, I'm not obsessing over what may or may not happen or anything. Like, it's just, actually, November's just November. Life's moved on.
I like that your favorite one is just nothing happened. Like, it was just, like, I honestly love it. It was just, like, my favorite point of the series was when nothing happened for an entire month and it just, like, came and gone. It's like, yes. That's what I love. Sometimes uneventful is really eventful.
It can be really eventful, especially if I think you've spent so many years in chaos and, like, everything's a big deal, you know, and, like, life or death. And now...
Nothing happened in November.
Nothing happened in November. And what a joy it was.
Yeah. I get what you mean. You do a lot of writing on your account, I've noticed. Like, you'll share a lot of long writing pieces.
Yeah, I think it was something I was really bad at school. I was always really bad at English. And so I think I found some freedom in that of, like, I don't need to do it well, so it's something I can do because I know I'm not going to do it well. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think, like, it was really the basis of, like, my old account was, like, those kind of really long paragraphs. And then I think as, like, I've got better, it's become less of a thing. And I think that's been a bit sad, you know? I feel like, oh, actually, I can deal with these things, like, by myself now, you know. And sometimes, like, you know, something will happen and the notes app will be reopened, but I think I'm so glad that I shared everything that I did, because I think it's really nice to be able to go, oh wow, actually, you know, it's not. And I realize I'm not making a single sentence in that whole thing that I just said, but I no, feel like sense.
You're good.
I feel like I felt quite bad, especially like my first year of uni, that I wasn't writing so much and that I wasn't posting so much, because it was something that was really important to me, and I would sit down and be like, right, Lara, like, let's dig deep, and just there was nothing, you know.
Yeah.
You know, but now I think it's quite nice to feel, oh, actually, I don't have that much to say anymore, which is kind of as well why I've kept going with like the Life After an Eating Disorder series, because I feel like all that I'm saying is basically like, you're gonna be fine. Like, yeah. Like all my like long captions recently, I feel like have been like, you're gonna be fine. You're gonna think that you're not gonna be fine. You're gonna be so sure. And then actually, suddenly, you'll be at uni and it all worked out.
Yeah. It's kind of like what we talked about a little earlier, like how you do the series sporadically. It's like the moment, sometimes the moment you sit down and you force yourself to do it, it's not authentic. It's not fun. It's not like anything really. And so it's those moments when, like, you know, something happens or you've just kind of had a day of nothing and you open that notes app or you open Instagram and you're just like, today was, you know, I did my homework and I watched TV and that was it. And like, it was boring, but like, it was fine, you know?
Yeah. And I think, like, for me, my experience of being unwell was like so charged all the time that like those moments of nothingness are like the most like precious things and the most like, oh my God, I just took the lift, you know? And I didn't think, oh, fucking hell, I should have taken the, you know, like, oh, I just took the lift, you know, like, and I'm not, you know, and like things that are so normal and should have been so normal, but weren't. Now I feel like a normal person again, you know, and I think it's quite, like I said at the start, like I started my account because I felt just so crazy and like I was the only one. And I think now it's quite nice to be like, to feel like I get a few messages now and then, like, you make me feel like there's something after this.
That's that must be like the best feeling to just actually have people reach out and be like, I couldn't see a life after my eating disorder. It's like watching somebody live it. Sometimes you need that to put it into perspective. Like, you can have people tell you all day long, it's like, you're going to get past this. And, you know, like 10 years down the road, it's going to be nothing. And then it's so much different to like, look at somebody who actually went through it and see, like, even a year down the road, it's like perfectly fine.
Yeah. I've got a friend who I made like through some online, and she started her nursing degree this year and she was doing mental health nursing. And then like last week she dropped out because she just hated it. And it was like the best thing ever because you know, oh, actually she doesn't like it. And she kind of wanted to do it because, you know, she felt like she had to, or like she felt like it was always been her goal. And actually she doesn't like it, so she's going to do something else.
Yeah.
You know,
because like, wrong with that.
You can do whatever you want. Exactly.
Exactly.
And like, you can, yeah, you can move on from the chaos.
Yeah, yeah. And I think some people think like too, I mean, like with doing schooling, but just in general, it's like the more time you put into something, it's like all of a sudden you're like, I can't drop it. I can't drop out. Like, I put so much time and money into this. And it's like, okay, but if you're not enjoying yourself, if you're not like, if your heart's not in it, then it's going to be you're going to put 5 more years into it before you finally crash and give in. And now it's like, okay, instead of giving 2 years of your time when you were like, I don't like it, now you've given so much more and it's so much more like stressful in a way.
Yeah. And I think as well, like, have you read this?
No, I don't even think I've heard of that.
Really?
No.
I've just pulled up the book, Rehabilitate, Rewire, Recover by Tabitha Farah. This book was like my recovery Bible. And she says somewhere in it that I'm going to find about like being the best at having an eating disorder and then actually life moving on. You've just got to give me a second to find it.
All good.
So it is an excerpt from the book Rehabilitate, Rewire, Recover by Tabitha Farah. And she's talking about like being really good at having an eating disorder, because I think like for me, I was really good at it, right? So why would I stop? You know, but actually, like what we were saying, like the most important thing is your own happiness. Is it actually serving you? So she said, I was really good at not eating. I was an A-star student at restriction. Whilst I have no desire to be good at restriction now, that is because I'm not in the anorexia mindset anymore. And I don't get a feeling of reward for eating less and moving more. When my mind was in that mindset, even if everything else in my life was in shreds, there was a sense of contentment and peace to be found in the fact that I was really good at eating less than everyone else. That is a horrid truth to admit, but a truth all the same. When I started to eat a lot of food, stop restricting and gain weight in the recovery, I mostly felt scared. But I also felt powerful. I knew I was doing it. I was doing recovery, but there was at times a sense of loss. I didn't know what I was good at now that restriction and exercise were not an option. This is my favourite bit. It's a bit like taking a chessboard away from a world-class chess player. The game I had been winning at meant nothing in the real world. The only thing I was really great at held no value.
Damn. I see why you like that. That is good.
Yeah. And I feel like that's kind of sums it up, why I had to move away, you know, from the space, because I think the real world, like, people don't have eating disorders, and like, people aren't obsessed with how long, like, it's been since you ate, or that nobody else is scared of pasta. So if you're eating pasta, like, you know, I feel like you can get to a place where you're so used to it being a big deal that you expect everyone to be like, oh my god, but it's actually, you know,
it's actually like, it's an eating pasta is a normal part of like
a normal part of most people's lives. Yeah. And I think, like, to realise that, like, I was dedicating so much time and energy into something that actually didn't exist in the real world was the only way, like, that I could really, like, move forward, because you can be such a perfectionist about it, but kind of what's the point? And I know, yeah, when you're in the eating disorder, like, you're not having that logical mindset.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But you're like, in such the, like, a 180 of a mindset of, like, it is the, it's like, the point of the world. It's, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think now it's so nice to feel like I have a complete life away from that, you know. And I think you can get really obsessed with being the best at chess, and actually it doesn't matter. And I think it's quite nice to feel like, even though now my account's really small, to feel like maybe someone can see, like, the world beyond chess.
I like the chess analogy.
I loved it. Like, changed
my life. That was so good.
Yeah. Was it worth the wait?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
We're kind of nearing the end of the episode here. So first off, just, we kind of mentioned it a little earlier, but just where people can find you.
Right, yeah. So I'm not really that much on social media anymore, but I think Lara Loves Toast is still out there, although I don't really post on it. And then I've got Toastiarchy. I'll tell you how it's spelt, but it's literally toast, and then IARCHY.
If toast was the patriarchy, pretty much.
That's how you remember it. I think that might even be the bio.
Really? I probably, like, read that and, like, subconsciously hid it away for later.
Yeah. So you can request to follow me on there. I, like, accept requests from everyone except people I know, so.
Fair enough. I can respect that.
Yeah.
And also, now that we're at the end of the episode, I was wondering if you had an affirmation for people.
So, I've been thinking about this, and I feel like what I would want people to take forward is, when you have a really bad thought, there's, like, three things that I like to ask myself. Like, is this worth my time? And it is it true? Is it helpful? And is it kind?
I love it. Like, I'm not going to say too much so that's what sticks in people's brains, because I love it. Okay. Thank you so much for joining me. This was
Thanks
so
for
fun.
Having me.
Yeah, so insightful too. I love, I don't know, I just love talking with people, maybe. But yeah, thank you so much for everything you had to say and your words of wisdom as your affirmation. And I urge everybody to go give you a follow, especially if they love toast. Now they know where to go.
Find your community.
Yes, your support. And to everyone listening, I'll talk to you next week. Bye, everyone.